Good morning. Let me get situated up here. Okay. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. Good week. It's good to be together. want to think with you this morning about this idea of our safe place, right? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But why don't we pray before we get into the sermon today? Father, thank you for loving us, for hearing our prayers, for calling us your children and allowing us to call you and call to you as our Father. Please be with us this morning as we turn to the scriptures, as we open up our hearts and our ears to the truths that are here. Help us, Lord, to grow in understanding, to grow in wisdom, to know you more. May our hearts be comforted and strengthened. May we all be built up and drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, where's your safe place? Okay. If you think about that question, or even think about life in those terms, it's the place you go when you're afraid or anxious or stressed or overwhelmed or just really sad or angry. Where you're threatened, when you feel exposed, when you feel insecure. Maybe it's a place in nature, like a path in the woods, or maybe this fallen log where you can just go sit and be at peace, where you can sit and think, pray, maybe scream, maybe just cry out. As a kid, maybe you had a favorite tree to climb. Right, this place that you could just go, things were crazy or chaotic, or you just wanted to get alone, you climbed this particular tree, or maybe a closet that you could go into and just, again, hide away and feel secure. It may not be a place in a literal sense, but just some activity you do, something you do, again, to just escape and get away, or maybe a person that you go to that you think of as your safe place. But in all this, again, it's that place you go to escape, that place where you can just be yourself, where you feel secure, where you can be totally vulnerable, where you feel safe, protected, or hidden, right? The Psalms are just full of safe place images, right? You just read through the Psalms, and there's just this variety of safe place images. And in so many examples, this variety of safe place images is applied to God. God is that safe place. And so what I'd like to do is just take a little bit of time to hear a selection of psalms together and think about the ways the psalmist saw God as a safe place and the ways that they went to him for refuge and for safety. So I'm just going to, don't open your Bibles and turn, but let's just all try to take in what the psalmist said. It'll be, again, a kind of a greatest hits of safe place images, okay? So the first is in Psalm 4. Psalmist says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." In Psalm 7, "O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all those who pursue me and deliver me." In Psalm 9, "The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 16, the opening line just simply says, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you." Psalm 17, "Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge in your right hand. From those who rise up, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." Psalm 18, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Psalm 25, "Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you." a few selections from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And whom shall I dread? One thing I've asked from the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he'll hide me, he'll lift me up on a rock. And so he concludes that song saying, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 28, blessed be the Lord because he's heard the voice of my prayers. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is my strength. He's a saving defense to his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also and carry them forever. Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength or a place of protection, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you'll lead me and guide me. You'll pull out the net which they've secretly laid for me. You are my means of protection. Into your hand I commit my spirit. For you have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. And then he goes on to say, how great is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you, which you've wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of people. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. You think about even that last imagery. He's in a besieged city. He's being attacked, and yet in that place of vulnerability, he feels secure in the Lord. Psalm 32 very simply says, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Psalm 57, be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save. He reproaches him who tramples me. God will send forth his loving kindness and truth. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I, for you've been my refuge, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 62. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. And in case we didn't hear it, he says it again. My soul waits in silence for God only. My hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. O God of my salvation and my glory, The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 63. When I remember you on my bed, I'll meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Psalm 94. They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. And then two verses from Psalm 119. I love the simplicity of these last two. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Uphold me that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. So can you think about this sampling that we've had and all the just different images that flood the Psalms that all speak to this idea of safe place. Shield, rock. There are actually two different terms for rock in case one wasn't enough, right? One that's this sort of crag, another this high cliff that you climb up to, a stronghold, fortress, tower, bulwark, place of escape, place of protection, a secret place or hiding place, a broad place, a high place, the shadow or the shadow of your wings, shelter, refuge. And all of these are pictures of safety, of security, of protection and strength. And as that safe place, what God is doing then is concealing, hiding, guarding, lifting up, helping, saving, delivering, rescuing, preserving, leading, guiding. You know, if we were to sort of write our own Psalms, I'm sure the images would change for us, right? Because David's this ancient Hebrew warrior, right? And so for him, he's going to climb up on a rock to get military advantage and get protection and provision and all those sorts of things. We're not going to climb up on a rock for safety, right? Maybe rock is your safe place. I don't mean to take that away from you, right? But for us, it would change probably. We would say things like our bedroom, our closet, our tree, our treehouse, our woods, right? We might even say things like our Roth IRA, our 401k, our diversified portfolio, right? I mean, those are the things that we find security in and take refuge in, right? That language, though, would be applied to God, who is our ultimate security, our ultimate safety, our ultimate protection. The regardless of the images, the fundamental truth remains the same. God is our safe place and wants to be our safe place, right? And so think about that for just a minute. God is our safe place in so many different circumstances for our problems, right? You think about the host of problems that were just mentioned in the few Psalms that we read, right? Whether it be some life and death situation where literal armies are enclosing, surrounding David or coming against him, or you've got enemies that are trying to condemn him or shame him, and through accusation and through all sorts of shaming language, all these things that are violent and awful, that he's running to God for his problems. Just various circumstances. You can think about all the various problems that weigh us down. Whether it's our health or threats of health, problems at work, problems in relationships, all these problems that we carry, and God's saying, I want to be your safe space, your safe place for all those problems. Right? Not just our problems, but our feelings. Right? You think about the range of emotions that we actually feel. Our anger. God's a safe place for our anger, right? Our deep grief and sadness. God is a safe place for our sadness, for our fear, for our worry and anxiety, right? Sometimes we feel like, okay, I can't be anxious. I can't be afraid, right? We'll even read those passages. Don't be afraid. Okay, the Bible says don't be afraid, so I can't be afraid. The point is, you don't have to be afraid. You can come to me with your fear. You can come to me with your worry. You can come to me with your anxiety. You can come to me with your sadness. You can come to me with your anger. And even when those feelings are directed at God, right? Read the Psalms and see the frustration. See the, how is this working? God, how did this happen? Why did you let this, right? He can handle it. It's not just that he can handle it, that he welcomes that honesty, that truth, right? That's a real relationship. And again, God's saying, I want to be that safe place for you with your feelings. Also with our questions, right? Do we have real questions or do we suppress our questions, right? Questions about God, questions about the Bible, questions about the way the world works. Again, that may be another thing. We feel like we've got to bury those questions and suppress them or whatever. Understand, truth has nothing to fear. Our questions don't threaten God. Our questions don't threaten the scripture. The only thing that's threatened by our questions is the feeble understanding that we have, that we bring to the table. That may change, right? We may gain more understanding. We may understand things differently, but that's the only thing that's threatened by our questions. God's not threatened. God's wisdom, God's word is not threatened. So he's a safe place for all our questions. You think about Habakkuk, right? Here's a book that just opens up with questions, right? Psalm 73, a psalm of questions. God, how can this happen, right? Whatever the question, God can handle it and he wants to handle it. God's a safe place for our doubts. Do you ever have doubts? Right? Doubt God's promises? Doubt God's character? In our world today, doubt God, period? Again, sometimes we feel like faith means, okay, I don't have any doubts. That's just not true. Right? Abraham in Romans chapter 4 is held up as the prima example of faith. And this beautiful passage says, Abraham, though he regarded his body, though as good as dead, considered what God... I'm not saying this right. I'm going to just read it. Excuse me a second. A bad paraphrase is not going to be helpful to anybody. All right. Here we go. Romans 4:19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, which was as good as dead, yet with respect to the promises, he did not waver, but grew strong in faith, right? And the point is, you think about that story there of Abraham, right? And the things that God said, the promises that God made to him, and the impossibility of it, right? Okay, hate to break it to you, Abraham, you're really old. You're going to have a kid. Your wife's really old. She's going to give birth to a son. And she's never been able to give birth prior to. You recognize the impossibility of that. And so naturally, Abraham's struggling with that, right? He contemplated his own body as good as dead, right? He looked at things and was like, is this really going to work out? And yet that doubting, that wondering, that curiosity, right, brought him through and his faith grew stronger as a result of it, right? God's a safe place for our doubts. And God's a safe place for our sin, right? Again, sometimes we think, okay, sin, I've got to turn away from God, or maybe I've sinned and I've got to put myself in probation. I can't pray about this right away. I've got to put myself in this lag time and just wait to go to God. That's not true. One of the Psalms that we read was Psalm 32. When he talks about going to God as a refuge, in context, you know what he's talking about? Confessing sin, right? And, will you get out behind me? He's talking about confessing sin. And if you think about the likely context of Psalm 32, that's all the stuff that went down with Uriah and Bathsheba, right? The darkest time in David's life, incredibly dark, right? And yet he looks at confessing sin as going to God as his refuge, as his safety, as his safe place, right? And so no matter where we are in life, good or bad, whether our struggles are external or internal, God is our safe place and wants to be our safe place. And so we go to him for safety. We run to him. We wait on him. We hope in him. But what does this actually look like? All right, so again, we can read the Psalms. We can read some stories and say, okay, they're praying. But what does this actually look like in practice to think about God as a safe place? Well, you have to read your whole Bible in a year. And if you don't do that, I mean, you're out of luck. No, of course not. You just have to say your prayers every day and just say, no, right? Sometimes we maybe feel like that, right? Like, okay, we've got these obligations. We've got to understand Scripture, prayer. Those are gifts from God. They're not more obligations that we are. Burdens that we're supposed to carry around and feeling more guilt and shame for just another way we've not lived up to anything, right? Those are gifts by which we can learn from God and all those sorts of things. But we need to feel that peace as well. So, but what in all seriousness, what does this really look like? The truth is it's going to look different for each of us, right? It's not going to look the same. I can tell you what this looks like, what this has looked like for me, right? I don't think I've told this story here, but when Elijah was born, he was a really big baby and ended up having to have a C-section to deliver him. And so healthy birth and all that, we're back in the hospital room, and about an hour after we're all in the hospital room, you know, happy, you know, newly formed, happy family and all that sort of stuff, Chelsea's just feeling all this pain and ends up just bleeding a lot. And over the course of like 24 hours, the doctors are trying all these various procedures just to stop the bleeding. And they're having no luck. And so, you know, that was like the first signs of pain started happening around like 9 a.m. on a Monday. And by like 2 o'clock on Tuesday, she's about ready to go into surgery. And, you know, again, we're just sort of taking it a step at a time. And so all this sort of stuff builds up. But it was finally when the doctor was talking about, well, and if this last procedure doesn't work, we'll have to do a hysterectomy to save her. And that language, save her, I was like, oh, wow, this is real, you know. Just I wasn't fully aware of the stakes of what it meant for her to bleed out at the time. And, you know, along the way, you sort of pray in your head. But I remember just this sort of desperate sense of, like, I've got to pray. You know, and it's not like, oh, God expects me to pray. It's like, no, I've got to pray. I've got to go to God. And it's like we were in the hospital room, and there's all these doctors and nurses coming in and out. It's like, I've got to go somewhere to pray, but I don't want to leave her. And so it's finally the time where they're starting to wheel her out for surgery. I was like, I just go into the bathroom, right, the hospital bathroom. I get down on the floor of the bathroom on my hands and knees, and I'm just praying to God, right? Not the most sanitary place for prayer, but you do what you've got to do, right? And I remember my mom had been there for this, and she was actually able to help out with Elijah. We had one of our friends come, and so they were with me in the waiting room, and I'm grateful for that support and that presence. But again, what I really needed and craved from deep within was that time in the bathroom to just be on the floor and pray, right? Because God is that safe place in the middle of all the craziness that's going on. Other times, and more normally for me, it just looks like my prayer journal, right? Where I'll sit down in a chair and pull out my journal and just write out a prayer. I find it personally much more helpful to write out prayer. Something about just sort of sitting there, kind of closing your eyes or even opening your eyes and just feeling like you have to talk. You sort of, you know, just out loud prayers, you just sort of feel like you might have to just fill space. And so just writing out a prayer can be really helpful. I used to do that as sort of big events. You know, there would be times where like things would build up and it's like, I need to write out a prayer. I've gotten to more lately where that's just more normal than even just sitting down and praying out loud, you know, still around the table and maybe some ritual prayers. But to do that more heartfelt, working through something in prayer, a prayer journal is really helpful. Another thing is just the idea of visualization. What I used to do is take time to imagine the throne room, right? If you think about Revelation 4 and the picture of the throne room there, just taking the time to just take in that whole scene and pray to God. Lately, my visualization has been more of a place in nature, right? Some place in the woods where I just sit down, and again, I'm closing my eyes, and I'm seeing the trees, and I'm seeing the light filtered through, and I'm hearing the birds, and I'm all these sorts of things, and then there's God. And I'm not necessarily talking. You don't need to talk. Maybe I'll ask for something or ask for help, but it's just sitting in his presence and being with him, right? Because again, he's that safe place, right? And that's the escape. It's getting there and being with him and just filling up on his love, and filling up on his grace, and filling up on his mercy, and filling up on just his care for us. That's what it's looked like for me at different points, right? It'll look different for you, but the point is, in all of that, go to him, right? So many other things that we can turn to for some sort of escape, and they end up being so cheap, and they just don't satisfy, and they don't do anything lasting, right? They leave us feeling numb, but not helped. And so just go to him, turn to him, run to him, take refuge in him, cling to him, and don't stop doing it, right? The point in all this is not that our circumstances are just going to be magically fixed. That's not the point of this. The point is the promise of his presence, that he's with us through our circumstances, and that he's helping us and giving us what we need through our circumstances. And so we just keep doing it. We just keep clinging to him no matter what. And then a bonus point. Church should be a safe place too. Right? And when I say that, I'm not talking about the building. And I think we know that, right? Not talking about the building at all. I'm talking about us as the people of God. If God is our safe place, he sets the program for what we are aspiring to be as the people of God, right? We aspire to be that safe place for one another and for outsiders, right? For our problems, for our feelings, for our questions, for our doubts, for our sin. We'll take this time now for silent reflection and prayer. And if you think about the Psalms that we even listened to, some of those were Psalms of lament. We're just going to God as that safe place. And that may be your time right now in that desperation, just clinging to him. Some of them were more praise, where they were celebrating him as that safe place. And that may be your time this morning as well. And we also offer this for those that have burdens to share that you'd like to share with the church. If you're ready to be baptized, we have this opportunity for that as well. But let's take some time to be still before our God.